Galatians. If you've been with us all through that time, you should have a good foundation for why the law, if you are in Jesus. How many people do we have this morning who have found Jesus? Actually, he found you. Aren't you glad? Amen. If you have come into relationship with him, I lost my train of thought. I got to thinking about that. And the beauty of that very thought, and then I forgot where I was at. Anyway, I'll find it here in a minute. Anyway, if you've been with us, there we go. If you've been with us, you know that if you are in Jesus and he is in you, that the law is no longer how you relate to God. In fact, that terminology in and of itself is no longer relevant. For it's not just God, it is your Father through the work of his Son. Remember John 3:16. How many here can quote it? For God so loved you and I, the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. John goes on to tell us that if we have believed in the Son, we have believed and confessed that he came in the flesh, that we now have eternal life. 1 John chapter 3, 1 says, behold what manner of love the Father. How many are glad this morning that we've been refathered? How many are glad for the Father Day? Isn't it great to have confidence before him? He's not just God, but he is our Father. Paul says that we are not called again to fear, but rather we cry by the Spirit of adoption, Abba, Father. How many are glad for the Father today? Hallelujah. John says, behold what manner of love, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, the Father has given unto us that we should be called the sons of God. How many are glad for eternal life on the inside? What this is speaking of is there has been a divine exchange. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, makes it very clear, that he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, so that we could become. This was not like Abraham, who was considered on credit before the age of grace. But now those who confess from a heart of belief the work of Jesus, that he was the Son of God and that he was raised from the dead. Scripture tells us, Paul, by the Spirit of God, is saying that he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could become, not like Abraham considered, but have become the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is either absolutely insanely crazy, or it is a supernatural truth that transforms and changes life. Boy, I'm still ringing with, what was his name? Ron Archer. Before you leave, I want to make sure I've got that written down. I want to find out more about that man. What a powerful, powerful testimony. How many are glad for the work of Jesus in your life? All right? So he has become our righteousness. Now, for him to become our righteousness and for us then to be made the very righteousness of God in Christ, that means something radical and supernatural happened on the inside of you. I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And we're going to look here at where the writer, we don't really know who he is. The more that I read and the more that I see, I tend to agree with those who say that it was Paul. Irrelevant. The writer of Hebrews, I love the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, for me, used to be a very scary book. There were some scriptures that we can find in this chapter, in chapter 7, in chapter 6, that if this book is taken out of context and we don't understand to whom it was written, how many know that all of the Word of God was written for us, but very little of it was written to us? All of it is for us, for it is eternal. The Spirit of God speaks through this word. But how many know that these were literal letters written to literal specific churches and people, and in them is a message that is eternal that we all draw from? How many are thankful today for the Word of God that stands forever? Hallelujah. Forever, David said, forever settled in heaven. The writer, though, of the book of Hebrews is in a very lawyeristic fashion pleading with a group of Jews in Jerusalem, pleading with them to leave the old system of the law, of the tabernacle, of the shedding of blood of bulls and goats, and on the whole Jewish system, pleading with them to leave all of this and move over into Jesus. By the time he gets to chapter 6, he is saying, let's leave behind the foundations of Messiah and move on into perfection. You study Hebrews, you find out that the perfection that he was talking about is the perfection that comes only through a relationship with Messiah, the Son, the eternal Lamb of God. And if you don't have that context established in your mind and in your heart when you read Hebrews, you'll read some things backwards that won't apply to you. This book is all about pleading with the holy brethren of Israel. That is a people set apart by God because of their Abraham, their father Abraham, with whom God cut a covenant. How many know he is called the father of our faith for a reason? He trusted and believed God. And it wasn't what he did or didn't do, it was what he believed that set him apart in God's eyes. And you know that has not changed. And I'm so glad for that. How about you? Not what we do or don't do, it's in whom we have believed. You've heard me repeat D.L. Moody many, many, many times, and it's what we in this church attempt by the Spirit of God to do. If we can get you to believe right, to see the gospel for what it is, right believing will produce right living. Most of the church is about the task of modifying people's behavior and the way they live to shape them up so they can qualify for God. How many know that nobody can qualify for God? This is a gift that comes by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. He has created us from the beginning unto and for good works, but they follow a heart belief. How many in this morning have embraced Jesus? Man, if you haven't, we're going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service to absolutely let His work be done in our lives. How many love Jesus this morning? Amen. All right? So there's this supernatural work that is taking place in our heart. Now here's the deal. It is impossible for that to take place unless there's been a supernatural transformation. Because every one of us in here, if we self-examine, we know that in and of ourselves, we could never in a million years qualify to house the very presence of God. If you were with us last week, we were looking at John chapter 14, in which the disciples are getting ready to go into some pretty troubled times. And Jesus is encouraging them, and he says, I'm not going to leave you alone, but I'm going to send to you the Comforter. And he calls him the Spirit of truth. We also looked at John chapter 1 verse 17, in which the Spirit of God speaking through the Apostle John says, Moses gave the law, but, everybody say, but, huge change, but grace and truth came through and by Jesus Christ. He's not saying that the law is unholy. Paul says, and I'm recapping for everybody in here this morning and for those who have not been with us. So when I repeat a lot, those of you that are regular part of our body, you don't get bored and yawn, which nobody's doing that, but you pray with me that those who are new can, by the Spirit of God, be caught up a little bit so they this morning can receive together with the rest of us. Amen? So here's what we see. We see that the law had its place. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 lays it out very clearly. It was glorious, but the time had come that which was glorious would be replaced with. It would have to be done away so that that which is much more glorious could come into play. A new covenant now by the Spirit of God. For those who believe on His name, the law is no longer how you relate to Father. The law was how you related to God, but we relate to Father now through the Son by His Spirit that now dwells in us by faith. Now, if you've been with us, we looked at where Jesus says, and He's echoing what the Spirit of God says through John in chapter 1. Moses gave the law, but the Spirit of truth and grace will come through Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you alone. There is a work that I have yet to do. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to pay the price for sin. Write these scriptures down. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Both declare that the law and every ordinance that was against us was nailed together with Jesus to the tree along with our sin once and for all. When Jesus cried from the cross, it is finished. He meant it. And to everyone that believes, aren't you glad today that to everyone that believes, we have eternal life through Him. All right, then I'll just keep priming the pump. Let's go. Here we go. So here's the deal. I want you to see something then. So the law, holy, righteous, and forever, is no longer how you relate to God. It brought you to a place where God ceased to be distant and far away, and you recognize that in that old system, you could never be righteous. It brought you to your end, and we all needed a Savior. I'm here glad for Jesus today. The law got me to a place where I came to the end of myself. It served its purpose, a ministry. 2 Corinthians 3, though, says that a new system came into play when Jesus died. At the end, Paul the writer expresses frustration. At the end of 2 Corinthians 3, he says, Christ remains veiled. Even unto this day when Moses is read in the synagogues. And then he repeats it again. Christ remains unseen because we still continue to lift the law. That's in your Bible. But then he says, he goes on to say, but this is going to change. It must change. He says, for the where the Spirit, don't lose this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, in contrast to the Spirit of the law, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. He's speaking of now for the believer two opposing factors, a law without and a new law within. I want you to look with me at Hebrews chapter 11. Why am I harping on this so much? Well, I'm not harping on it any more than the apostles did. Every book is filled with this because when we go back to the law, the book that we just finished studying for several months, Galatians chapter 3, 13, says that Christ has redeemed us, can you shout amen, from the curse of the law, Christ having been made a curse for us. But in preceding verses, he says, the one who goes back under the law, submits once again to the law, comes back again under that curse. How many are glad that if we believe in Jesus and we see what He has done and embrace that, we are set free from all of an exterior law, for a new law has been written in our hearts. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
All right. Now I will tell you this. The Spirit of God will never go against the law of God. Now, you could never obey the law sufficiently to qualify. But because you've been qualified by the blood, because you put faith in that work of the blood, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and His work, The more you see his work, the more you see him, the more you believe in that work that is done in you, the more your life will begin to pattern itself, not just after a written code, but the spirit even of the original law. For God's heart always was. I give you, you're not little robots. He didn't create men and women as little robots and machines without any. No, he created us in his image, like him, and gave us free will. And he's always said, I set before you life and death. But his heart is seen when he says, choose life that you may live. That's always been his heart. I love 3 John. Do I have the right one? Yeah, 3 John 2. Somebody check me out, make sure I got the right address. I don't want to throw people off. Beloved, I wish above all things. Do you have it right? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. God is interested. He said, but that's just a greeting. Well, wait a minute. Now, do you believe the word of God or not? Do you believe that what God's word says is true or not? Do you believe that everything that was put in there for a reason? Do you believe that it was ordained, inspired, and anointed by God? I want you to hear what the Lord is speaking. And the reason that I know it's more than just a greeting, because it theologically is right in order with the rest of the word of God. It says, beloved, I love it where he starts. Loved ones, accepted in the beloved of God. How many are glad that we are loved by him? I don't care where you're at in this walk, how good you're getting it, or how bad you're misfiring. It doesn't matter. His love does not change for you. He says, beloved, my desire is above all things that you would prosper. There's been a lot of talk about the prosperity gospel. And I understand there's always a Bubba that's going to take everything out of context and way over the pale. But you better be careful that you're not setting your doctrine by what you deem excesses of the gospel. You keep your nose on in the Word of God, keep your eyes on Jesus, and you better believe that God prospers his own. For if you are prospered, either you believe that he prospered your hand, or you did. That's trouble. So he is a God who absolutely prospers his own. Not just money. See, everybody goes to money. But in your body, in your vitality. It's one of the reasons I love to quote Psalms 1:1-3 so much. Let's do it again. Psalms chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Can you do it with me? Blessed, I know Jesse's got it down. I've watched her do it. Mark, blessed is the man, the woman. Blessed am I. Blessed is the one. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel. Boy, if ever we needed that in any age before this, we need it today. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you know that grace churches still need to be able to discern who is ungodly and who is not? I didn't say point a finger and be judgmental. You better love and you better pray, but you also better have a clear understanding of what evil is and what it isn't. And understand what drives people, many times without their knowledge. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners. We got so many Christians. They're all, you know, I just go to just hang out. I'm not doing anything wrong. That's problematic. Look at the next one. Stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat. I'm just hanging out. Hanging out has caused more people to fall. Came into a relationship with Jesus, came into a living way of life, And man did so well for a while. Hey, people, there's a reason why Jesus sent the disciples back to their own 2 by 2. For one strengthened the other when the battle was on. You go back by yourself. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, his passion, is in the law of the Lord. Now the law, for the Jewish mind, is instruction towards Messiah. We now live in a new age called the age of grace by theologians, in which the law has been fulfilled by the only one who could fulfill it, and it was Jesus. Then, having taken the hit for all of our sin, the precious pure Lamb of God, he who became, where we started in this message, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who became sin for us. See? He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we should become the righteousness of God. What a powerful, powerful thing. So now we live in the fulfillment of the law. What is that? The living Word. In the beginning, long before Moses' law, was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word, Jesus, was God. So now when we read that, the promises have not changed. It would read like this. Blessed, how many blessed people we got in the house this morning? Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. For his passion, his childlike, wow, way of living, his delight is now in the Word of God. Isn't that something? I'm really glad for that. It says that if we meditate in it day and night, I mean, that's easy with the Holy Ghost on the inside, we will be like a tree planted by rivers of water. You won't have to travel for water, people. He was speaking of a day in which we would live in the river. Hebrews says that when we put our faith in Jesus, because of his blood, we step into the throne of grace with boldness. There was a time when I taught in error that was a special place that we stepped in a time of need. I found out since then that he's speaking of a place where the born again of believer lives. We live in the throne of grace by the blood of Jesus, and boldness is ours every day if we know that. He says, if we meditate in that word day and night, we'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Isn't that something? That we will bring forth fruit in season. Our leaf. Keith, you blow my mind. This man here, 81 years of age, getting started in ministry, he told me before service, he's had 3 spinal surgeries. What's your excuse? And in here with a big, bright, smiling, bright eyes, wanting to do something for God and change his world. What an honor to have you here today. Absolutely. What's your excuse? We'll bring forth fruit in season. Our leaf will not wither. And here it is. And whatever we do, John, crazy or wonderful, will prosper. I'm very glad for the prosperity of God. 3 John 2 says, my heart's desire above all things that you would prosper and be in health. And here's how, even as your soul Not speaking of your spirit man that's already as prosperous as it will ever get. It is one with Christ, for he lives within. He's speaking of the soul. I haven't taught on this. There's a number of you that probably haven't heard it, but there is a difference. Scripture shows that I am a spirit. You are a spirit, that we have a soul, and that we live in a body, a three-part being. The soul is the mind, will, and emotions of who we are. Now, there's another, but for the sake of teaching and time, that's the main thing I want you to grasp. That's why Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to grace people. You still have a response ability. Be not conformed. You need to be sober. Paul writing to grace people, 1 Peter 5:8. You ought to be writing these scriptures down. Be sober and vigilant for your your adversary, the devil, your enemy, whatever your translation is, your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This is not be fearful. He's telling believers he's going to look for something religious to invite you into to trip you up. So stay awake and be aware if you study the context. Amen. Where was I at? The last scripture. I don't want to lose it. 1 Peter 5:8, before that. Be not conformed. Thank you, Romans. Somebody listen. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, grace people. Your responsibility is you have something inside of you now that is directing you, not an exterior law, but something has changed in you and has got a compass within. And he's saying, so you still have freedom. You didn't get born again and become a little cookie cutter soldier in a spiritual Gestapo. You still have free moral agency. You still have the ability to choose right from wrong. And he's saying, be not conformed to this world. Don't let yourself be shaped by this world, but rather be transformed. How? By the renewing of your what? I thought it would be much more spiritual than that. I thought it would be a renewing of our spirit, a renewing of something really. Jesus already took care of that. Peter says, in 1 Peter 2, he says that everything that pertains to life and everything you need is already on the inside of you. Everything that pertains to life itself and godliness therein has already been given to us. It's in there. How many times have we mentioned over the last couple of months? Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works where? And that's something. So Romans 12:2 says, how does this change? By the renewing of the mind. Everything starts right here. Joyce Myers, the battlefield of the mind. What we think. Let me take it a little further. What you worry about. You're not just thinking a mechanical thought. It's tied to emotion. And when you combine thought with emotion, it begins to find a deep seat. It begins to settle in. It becomes a stronghold. And there's only one way to get out of that lockup, and that is for you to rise above emotion, for you to rise above a childhood trait of whatever you're feeling is the way that you flow. Stand up and square your shoulders and begin to boldly speak the word of God in reference to your situation. He says, renew your mind by the renewing of your mind, that we are transformed. When we renew our mind with the Word of God. Why is that so important? The Holy Spirit on the inside of you, it gives Him something to work with while you're growing. Some of you are staring at me like a cow looking at a new gate, but it's still true. This isn't an old subject that we moved on from and now we're in deeper levels of grace. Mm-mm. Every day, my biggest challenge is to get up and renew my mind to my righteousness, because that's where the devil is going to challenge me every day. I don't care how long you're in this walk, he will challenge you on your sonship. He will challenge you on your kingdom heirship. He will challenge you there, because if he can stop that, you're going to stutter when it comes time to let the power of God flow through your fingers and watch somebody be healed or see depression blown off of their mind or see their family, whatever it is. That's where he's going to hammer. And you can talk about it and you can listen to good stuff and you can get fired up. But until you individually discipline yourself to sit down and say, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." In the Old Testament, it was just to keep from sinning. That's been dealt with. Now it's a hiding of his word in our heart so that our lives are alive. John, interestingly, in the same book that he says, "Beloved, behold what manner of love." He starts out, "Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us." He talks about the fact that we now have, not going to have, but right now alive in us, we have eternal life. And then in the same little book, he says, "So lay hold of it." It's in there. Lay hold. How many would join me in laying hold more than ever before? Okay, so here's the deal. A new spirit, a new life, the presence of God within, a new law, a new compass. Look at Hebrews 11, where I started, a half hour ago? Then we'll bind this up. I've been trying to get to this article I wanted to read. I would encourage you to go check him out. I don't think I'm going to touch that today because of time. But next week we'll try and attempt as the Lord leads. We may do what we did today again. Is that all right with you? But if you've never heard of this guy, I would encourage you to check out his stuff. His name is Paul Ellis. You might want to write that down, Paul Ellis. His webpage is www.escapetoreality.org. Been following him for years. Tremendous, tremendous blog on grace. I use a lot of his stuff. Next week, Lord, like I said, I've been trying to get through the last several weeks, but I want to read you his article on what obedience is under the new covenant. This is where all this that I'm, this dialogue that I'm having with you is showing that there is a place for obedience in grace, but it's not what many would think. We started a couple weeks ago and showed that Adam and Eve disobeyed, but the problem wasn't so much their disobedience. Disobedience was a byproduct of distrust. And if we go back to obeying to qualify, we're going to get in trouble. But if we realize that obedience follows trust, then we're going to get back in the center of finding out what this completed work of Jesus looks like in us. Trust him more, and obedience becomes a flow of our lives. That's where we're going. Okay? But before we get there, I want to just nail a few more flaps down tight. You doing all right? I want you to look at what Hebrews 10 now, the writer who is now pleading with a group of people that are having a hard time. They're just like the people who we find in the book of Galatians, that Paul had to confront Peter and the host to their face because they were trying to bring people back under the old system. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, that had its place, but you got to leave it behind. Now I want you to look at Hebrews 10, go all the way down to verse 11. Pleading the case of the Messiah to a group of people who are having a hard time saying, "Okay, we're leaving all that. It's Jesus and that's it." He is pleading the case of Jesus, and he says, and every priest stands, speaking of what currently was happening at that time in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. Okay? And every priest standing daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, aren't you glad for that? Sat down, the first and only priest who sat down because his work was done. Can you say amen? Sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever. Where is this at in the church? That means that there's a part of you, because of your faith in Jesus, that is perfected forever before God. That ought to get you fired up this morning. Oh man, get your eyes back on Jesus and off yourself. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after he had said before, the Holy Ghost spoke these words. This is what Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, by the Spirit of God is saying. The Holy Spirit said some things. Here's what he said, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my... Oh, are you ready? I will put my laws into their hearts. Can you say big change? And in their minds will I write them. You want to know where he got that from? Jeremiah. Write it down in your flap. He's quoting the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34. He says, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And right in conjunction together, he makes a statement that is mind-blowing, and I want you to hear it from eternity past, now fulfilled in the Son, the way that God sees you. Get ready, it's in your Bible. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Are you here this morning? That's powerful. As long as you're sin conscious, the devil's going to constantly take you around for another butt whooping, another circle. I want to encourage you to say, I don't care how many times you fail, how many times you circle, or how many people have given up on you today, I want you to know that Jesus never gives up on you. The Holy Spirit never leaves you. He never looks at you and say, well, we've been around this 100 times. 100 is enough. He's a faithful friend and brother, our high priest, Lord of lords, King of kings. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Where would we be? He says to you today, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. So you better take confidence in this, and that there is a new law, but it's no longer on stone. You no longer have an exterior fence that you're driven through mindlessly. Jump the fence, you're in trouble. Stay in the lines, you're good. For there is a living law. Who is the person of Jesus by the indwelling Spirit that he gave? He is the new law written in your heart, whereby without fear we cry, Abba, Father, knowing our sins and our iniquities, he remembers no more. That's powerful. How come this isn't being preached? You know one of the reasons why? I struggle every time I talk about these things because it eliminates all the excuses and it brings the hearer swiftly into a place of what am I going to do about the love of God? And do you know that most of the masses out there, no matter how much you hear, they love church, they love religion, they love the lines, they love the laws, they love the club, they love the ties, they love the stuff, they love the programs, as long as they can keep busy. But I don't want to be alone with Him that close. That's for another time. This gospel, man, if you can dare to trust Him. We're not in an age of trust right now, and sadly, it's not in the church either. So we pastors cooperate with that unique American quality of distrust and talk a lot and communicate a lot and no intimacy. And now we've patterned our churches that way because it's what works and what draws numbers. I will not stink and compromise. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. He makes the difference. You get bold about who you are. You begin to dare to believe. Watch what God will do through your hands. I hear it all the time, and we're looking at implementing a discipleship program, but I hear so many excuses in the church today. But we don't have this, and we don't have, not in our church, I'm just saying in general. And I always think of people like that little girl that saw a 700 club program, 17 years of age in the Ukraine, found Jesus, gave her heart and life to Him, searched and searched until she could find a Bible. By the time she was able to get out to somebody on the outside, we're talking about in communist Russia, she had started over 70 churches. You have a discipleship program on the inside of you. Are you hungry enough to want it? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Don't take that as a hit. I'm not doing this, but I'm saying, is it okay in grace now? Can we stand back knowing that now we're righteous? Turn around and say, hey, we have some choices to make. I sang it last week. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. How many know He wants you to? I heard somebody say, God's not interested in you being happy. Boy, they had such a deep nugget of faith. He's not interested in you being happy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's joy, and you got a faith. And listen, man, if that's all it ever is faithing it out, I'm here to tell you that He does have happiness for His own, a sense of fulfillment. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. How many know we can be happy in Jesus? Hallelujah. Somebody need to let your face know that, though. Hallelujah. I'm glad for Jesus. Amen. I don't have time to go any further. If I do, it'll be another hour. I think that's good enough. So next week, I'm going to attempt to move into a little more of what that obedience looks like under the new covenant. I'm glad for Jesus today. A new law written in your heart. That means that the Spirit of God in you, who is a person, not an it, not a fire, not a dove, not a feeling, not oil, not feathers. The person of the Holy Spirit lives in you. I'm here glad for Jesus today. Come on, can you lift your hand and give Him thanks? Jesus lives in you by the Holy Spirit. A new law, the Spirit of God within. And I'm going to quote it to you one more time. Meditate on it. Romans chapter 8, verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life. This is a new law written in me. Come on, turn to your neighbor, bump him, say, a new law is written in my heart. The law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Isn't it great to be alive? Listen, be careful. Don't let the world and where it's going get you down. Or the greater one. Listen, there have been way worse times in history, and God turned it all around. Quit this nonsense of, well, it's so bad Jesus has to come back. He doesn't have to do diddly. He'll do what He's ready to do. In the meantime, we can occupy with peace and with joy and with happiness because of who He is in us. God can turn America around, or He can make a new America, whatever He's got to do. But you don't worry about that. Where are you at with Him? I'm thankful today that there's a law on the inside, a new compass that speaks to me. I didn't get to those scriptures. We'll look at them next week. It says the day will come when you'll say which way, and you'll hear a voice from behind. They're trying to describe something that is before, that is way after their time. But by the Spirit of God, they're seeing prophetically into the future time when people would say, okay, which way, Lord? And the Lord would speak as though He were right behind them and say, go this way. God speaking through Isaiah, and Isaiah chapter 1 says that if we are willing and obedient, that means we're following His voice, we will eat the good of the land. I've been interested in eating the good of the land. But what about the rest of you? You either need to get saved or get your mind right. How many want to eat the good of the land? Oh, hallelujah. Let me pray for you before we go. Would you just lift up right there where you're sitting all over the room? Father, every week we come in here, and we're so thankful for the privilege we have of sitting, standing, worshiping, enjoying, practicing Your presence, Your word through song, Your word through Herb's testimony, Your word this morning through Vic and these tremendous, that word just is a healing balm, and it cleanses and releases and opens us and takes the dryness and the dustiness that's gathered through the week and lifts us. We're so thankful for Your word today that heals and strengthens and breathes life. Father God, today I speak to minds that they would be strengthened in You. The Apostle Paul said, be strengthened with might in your inner man. Father, today we appropriate that word for Your people. Father God, I thank You for what You're doing in our house, what You're doing in us individually as Jesus is unveiled. Father, thank You for a new law within, the presence of Holy Ghost Himself. I may have failed, but I am not a failure. Somebody needs to say it this morning. I may have failed, but I am not a failure. For I am. Come on, what am you? Come on, Herb, help me out. What am you? How's that for English? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That means that I am the head and not the tail. I'm going to rise above and not be beneath. I'm going to be blessed going in and coming out. All Amen. That was spoken blessed of now is fulfilled in Jesus. For His heart's Amen. Desire is that we would prosper and be in health. It's still true.
We are in the right
place. Even as our soul prospers. For these things we give You thanks, Jesus. How's that for preach prayer? I love it. And everybody shouted, Amen and Amen. Let's